Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, an exclusive in-depth look with Katherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips from TrueTheVote.org. That is TrueTheVote.org. As we talk about and dissect the data behind 2,000 Mules, they have some bigger announcements coming soon. What is coming next? Operation Ripcord and so much more. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from you. If you want to support the Charlie Kirk Show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Give a gift of any amount at tpusa.com and get your copy of The Conservative Response to the Great Reset. Again, support our show at charliekirk.com/support and support True the Vote at truethevote.org. Make sure you're subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. So if you're listening to this and maybe you got a link or you saw a link on social media, you could subscribe easily on Apple Podcasts by hitting the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. If you do that, it will really bless us and help us. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com. The wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. What a special treat we have. And we're going to go deep into the data, the evidence, and the story behind what many of you have been asking us about. And so first, we have Katherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips from True the Vote, truethevote.org.
truethevote.org. Thanks for having us, Charlie.
Of course. And everybody should support True the Vote and get behind them in any way you can. Some of you are familiar with Katherine and Greg because of the movie that you saw, 2,000 Mules. But you must understand the data and the research and all of that was made possible because of truethevote.org. So I want to make sure you guys check it out and support that. Katherine and Greg, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie.
So you guys are here in Arizona. What are you up to?
We have a hearing this afternoon in the Senate. So we are looking forward to making a presentation about, a lot of what's covered in 2,000 Mules and some new stuff.
And so, Greg, I hear there's been some indictments. Is that right?
Yeah, there have. A few arrests earlier, then a plea deal and another plea deal. I understand that maybe something in court tomorrow. Been down there interviewing a bunch of folks, confiscating computers, cell phones, all manner of stuff going on.
Did your data lead to those indictments?
You know, I think that it augmented everything that was already happening. I think that the fact that the plea agreement was made the day after the movie was released is pretty interesting. Maybe we'll know a little bit more when it goes to court tomorrow.
So let's take a step back and kind of talk about the data in general, because your work has kind of created a firestorm in the media, and it's now hitting kind of a critical moment where it's too big to ignore, where people at the top levels of our government are talking about it, and you know, they're trying to do everything they possibly can to tamper it down. But the grassroots kind of energy is really kind of hitting a fever pitch, which I think, to both your credit, was the brilliance of doing the presentation of it in a movie, because it's so dramatic that it gets people compelled to action more so than just kind of leaking it to reporters. But let's kind of start from square one just to kind of refresh our audience. Both of you went and did the tough work to go get the pings or the geolocation technology that anybody could access if they had the money to do so. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of data brokers out there. I think there's 40 or so data brokers out there. Some of them are quality, some of them are not. In our case, we use a specific set of data brokers, buy from different ones. We get different types of signals. We get a different range of signal, put them all together. Of course, all the media wants to talk about is, well, you can't do that with cell phone towers. And okay, well, it's not cell phone towers.
So what do they mean? What do they mean by that when they say that?
The old technology around sort of GIS proper would and your cell phone would triangulate a signal around towers, right? And that triangulation, depending on how many towers there were or whatever there was, it might or might not be accurate. We just don't use that technology. So I mean, they're all a little confused.
And Katherine, I ask that anybody can access it, meaning that you didn't use some sort of government clearance. Right. This is out there for the world if they had the means to be able to actually get sift through it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's out there, and it's been out there for a number of years. And it's impacts all of us every single day, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, and I mean, turning it off on your phone is very unlikely. We're getting tracked all the time. You even say in the movie that you could be tracked with your phone off, which is extraordinary. And so this technology is out there, and it's been used by law enforcement for other projects. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, I think the most notable of late is the January 6th event. The government was quick to embrace, as was many of the corporate media, quick to embrace the use of the geospatial technology that now they have used as a backdrop to arrest and imprison many Americans. Mm-hmm. So the accuracy clearly was something that law enforcement looked kindly upon in that situation.
Greg?
Yeah, I think that the technology is so prevalent out there, and it's growing every day. I mean, you know, Russians are getting blown up in their tanks because of technology similar to this. And there's a lot of things going on. Even the CDC uses it to track to see if we're 6 feet apart or not. And now all of a sudden it's not okay. And Bill Barr comes out and says, well, I haven't seen the movie, but it's probably not, the technology doesn't make sense. Well, that's ridiculous. Then let all the January 6th people go. Mm-hmm. If that's your opinion, let them go.
So the technology is sound, and we know it's sound. Why? I mean, is the media just lying, or they're just trying to smear it? Because you read these articles and say, oh, it's unproven, or you can't use it in the way that you're using it. I mean, is there any credence to that argument?
Yeah. Well, short answer is no. I think that we turned the tables in a way that the media and that entire group of sycophants that wants to suppress this kind of information and keep this narrative alive that 2020 was the most secure election ever, which it clearly was not. They are invested, and they will say anything, and it's just not the case.
Greg?
Yeah, they're also grabbing at technology that they're just flat out confused about. They're talking about stuff that existed back in 20. There was some study done in 2011 by some academician. Well, this technology that we use didn't even exist in 2011. Mm-hmm. So while we use different types, none of what they seem to be trying to debunk is what we're using. So, I mean, it's sort of like, how do you answer?
Well, and one thing I wish that would have been shown in the movie, and I don't think it was, that actually got me bought in when you were briefing us, was the New York Times article. Was that, I don't think that was shown in the movie, was it?
No, and it's really very illustrative of how the data can be used. And Greg, I guess you came across it. I don't know how that all actually happened, but once you showed me, it was a series of articles.
Yes,
and
it was America under One Nation under surveillance, or something.
Yeah, One Nation tracked.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And so, you know, for a quick reference, we oftentimes talk about our methodology as being the New York Times methodology.
Yes,
because it clearly shows how accurate the data can be.
Yeah, and the tech that they were using is even modified since then, and it's a lot better, but. You know, they even debunked their own technology and their own arguments. So, I mean, you're talking to a newspaper that doesn't even like their own arguments, and they're trying to apply it to us.
Well, to give people an idea of what it says in the article, I remember when it came out, it was an Apple News article through New York Times, so you could go through it. And I remember it was green dots with a black, you know, back illuminated background. And they show how you're constantly being tracked. Now, to demonstrate the accuracy of it, though, because you could be like, okay, whatever, they showed Mar-a-Lago, and they showed when Donald Trump went golfing, and they were able to show when he went golfing based on everyone else's pings around him, Secret Service agents, staffers, you know, emergency personnel, or local police, and then they overlaid it with his actual schedule, and it was exactly right. That at 11:48, Donald Trump left Mar-a-Lago to go to Trump National 4 miles away. And that, you know, at 2:15, he came back. It was exactly right, down to a super, super precise moment. So their own data shows that in their own article it works. So that's just one thing I wish in the movie. I think it popped when we were sitting kind of doing that private briefing. That was one of the first things you guys showed us, which is like, hey, just so you know, this is a mainstream way of doing tracking.
Yeah, you know, we should put that back in the hearing for today.
Yeah, I think that would
we
be
should add that
good
back
idea.
In.
Yeah.
I think it's very convincing because I mean, the motorcade thing in particular, because it shows that, you know, he, because the presidential schedule is public, you know, he was at Mar-a-Lago, you know, and this is how we know, because of all the kind of correlated pings.
Right.
And so, and then, but you made sure when you presented the data and you went through it that you didn't have false positives, right? So the minimum was 5 ballot drop boxes. Is that right? Or is it 10? Or
10.
Was it?
Yeah.
That was the cutoff, right?
It was the cutoff. One of the things that's hard for people to understand is that we started with 10 trillion signals.
It's unbelievable.
And millions of cell phones. So we had to kind of whittle it down, right? And people want to, you know, sort of fuss and fight about what we included or what we excluded. But as we got closer and closer to this, Catherine often says that these were the outliers, right? These are not people that walked by 2, 3, 5 times. These are people that went not only to the drop boxes 10 times each, but they had to go to the stash houses 5
yes.
times.
Well, I want to talk about the stash houses. I know you guys have to be careful talking about that. That's the number one question I get. I'm sure you get it as well, which is because it's a little bit cryptic in the movie. You know, who are the stash houses? Who are running them? But that's a question. Number one question I get, Charlie, what are the stash houses? Let's go through kind of some of the objections to your data, if we will. So Philip Bump from the Washington Post says this is all debunked. This has been searched. Has law enforcement done a thorough forensic investigation the way you have with your data, as if they've already looked through this?
No, they've never even seen our data. I mean, let alone look at it. I mean, you know, they had an opportunity in Georgia to go down and look at it, and all they wanted to do is, you know, beat me up and make us targets and target our witnesses and everybody else. So no, none of them have even taken one single look at it. They lost it one time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. One of the law enforcement agencies lost it. We had to reprovide it.
But
they all ignore that, those inconvenient facts, right?
Which does segue to what I wanted to talk about. You guys can feel free to say, Charlie, we can't talk about it. The stash houses. What's the story of the stash houses?
Well, it's a good question.
And I understand the hesitancy because you're dealing with massive potential legal ramifications here, right?
I think our broader point is to maintain the integrity of any investigation that might go forward. It's really important that we not taint it with, you know, some wild allegation and say if there's 10 of them and they only find that it's true with 7 of them.
Oh, I totally appreciate that.
Right. I mean, that's something huge. But in San Luis, Arizona, we had a little bit of a law enforcement busting up in one of them. And so, you know, there's one.
So, but let's talk more broadly, and the specifics will eventually come out. What is involved in a stash house, right? So at least in my mind, I see a bunch of kind of like masked low-wage laborers at 2 a.m., like, putting things in baskets or, you know, bags. What happens in a stash house? Like, I mean, all these kind of very, I don't know, clandestine images come to mind. Like, what is a stash house?
Well, so all we can really go on is what we have been told by whistleblowers and witnesses. And there actually, it takes a lot of different forms. We have information that suggests people go out and are going through neighborhoods and taking ballots out of mailboxes. We have other instances where it's being reported that people will bring in their ballots in exchange for payment. We have stories of ballots being bundled from elsewhere and being brought in. So there's all manner of ways that ballots come in. Our constant refrain throughout all of this is, and that's why it should be investigated. We are close to the extent of what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
It is now to law enforcement to investigate right. this.
So is it fair to say a stash house is kind of the central meeting point? I mean, it's kind of like the Amazon distribution center. Is that fair to say?
There's yeah. definitely a nexus.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, now that we're picking on San, or I'm picking on Yuma County, San Luis, Arizona.
You could do that as much as you want.
I'm with you, man. but it is a true microcosm of all the pieces and parts that we've seen from all over the country, all in one place. And there is one particular organization there where we have, I think it was 71 instances where 3 or more of our mules, of the identified mules, were in the same building at the same time, 71 times. It just, you can't make this up.
So,
right?
And just so everyone understands, San Luis is like on the border. Yeah. I've been to San Luis before. I mean,
yeah.
you see the border crossing,
yeah, right?
And there's a lot of illegal activity that goes through there, drugs, human trafficking. So you're saying that this organization are these typically 501c3s? Are they just kind of shell corporations? Can you kind of give us a little bit of a characteristic?
Yeah, I think it's some of each. There are definitely some 501c3s. There are some for-profit corporations that are kind of mixed up in the grift. There are elected officials that in their real job are running these outfits and these organizations. So I think it's all over the place.
And so I suppose part of it is like hiding in plain sight. So if one were in San Luis, I'm just conjecturing here, it'd be like, oh, we are the Hispanic Voter Coalition of Southwest Arizona, something that sounds, I'm not saying that's the name of it, I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head, and no one would think like, oh yeah, you know, there's something bad happening there. Like, oh no, our job is to go registered voters and boost turnout, kind of just fluffy imagery, right? So on the outside world, no one thinks to ever look into it.
Yeah, same goes with some of the faith-based organizations. There's an organization or two down there that has some ties back to some, or at least by name to some faith-based groups. And we just don't buy it. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. If there's three or more mules in this building 71 times, there's probably something going on.
And then you also are able to track that the mules went from the stash house then to the drop boxes, right, and then back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
I want to ask about one of the particulars about how you were able to track the mules going to multiple ballot drop boxes, one after the other, which I think debunks the debunkers where they say, oh, it could have been a poll worker. It's like, well, then why would they go to 15 different drop boxes if it's just that's
right across different counties and so forth? Exactly.
At 3 o'clock
right
in the morning.
Right, right.
When everyone votes, as Eric Metaxas would say. Big tech is monitoring, censoring, mining, and selling your online information. And SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated, SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one application supporting your private connection with others of your choice. Safety brings together your friends, family, team, club business, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. The SquadPod application is encrypted, protecting your communications and content without annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I have gotten to know the SquadPod team quite well, and they are true patriots of the mission of dedicating themselves to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and other organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by visiting squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Greg, you and I were chatting privately. Mo Brooks had a little bit of a back and forth this weekend around 2,000 mules. For whatever reason, we're not allowed to talk about 2,000 mules kind of right on certain networks. What's your reaction to that?
You know, we've been shunned, obviously, by Google and everybody else. But in this particular case, Sandra Smith on Fox asked Mo Brooks to sort of respond to something. And he was responding by saying, yes, there is evidence in 2,000 mules. And she just unleashed on him and, I mean, came at him. I mean, you can almost feel her kind
what
of coming forward.
What did she
forward
say?
She said that it had already been debunked and that Reuters had debunked it. You know, she didn't bother saying, well, this Canadian media company debunked it and all of that. It was crazy. Most took up for herself.
It was disturbing to me because I've sort of been in that line of fire on the other side of Fox where we're not able to talk about the one time I've been on Fox. I wasn't able to talk about it.
Did they tell you you weren't allowed to
say
that was a direct order?
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, that was, look, my approach to, or my thought about it was, and that's their choice. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But as Greg points out, you can't have it both ways.
That's the best point. Instead, they should have said, and I've known Sandra for years, I just think she was probably taking orders. She probably should have said, no, we're not talking about that on this network. Instead of saying it's debunked, then you're
Or teed up with an article to throw down. You know, I mean, that to me was a little revealing.
So we can't talk about it, but we will talk about it.
But right? We've already done Oppo on it.
Yeah, fair and balanced is actually unfair and imbalanced. I mean, it's ridiculous. They can't silence us like this.
Why do you think that is?
I think that this topic is just... People don't know how to handle it. I think we've reached a place, sadly, in our society where it's sometimes just easier to cede and go along to get along and move past, and we can't. our elections are truly at risk, and we've got to unpack this. And there's a way to do it, and it's talking through it. It's not pretending like it didn't happen.
Do you think part of it is that the elites feel kind of a noble lie syndrome, where that if this gets unraveled, then what else might also fall apart? As if that we have to say that everything's fine. We have to say that it's okay,
oh,
or else
absolutely
they're worried of civilizational unrest. Or do you think there's some truth to that?
Absolutely. Everything we are as a republic presupposes a free and fair election, right? So you start unraveling that. And
I also think that they're completely petrified of what they don't know. And they have no idea what we have. They know we have an amazing amount of data. They have no idea what it is. They have no idea if it stops at elections, if it goes in somewhere else, if it's other countries, if it's other companies. They don't know what we have. So they're afraid. And, you know, it comes off as, you know, trying to silence us. I mean, it felt sort of very 1984-ish. I mean, trying to shout Mo down and him standing up, you know, I mean, in a different place in time, Mo'd probably get disappeared or something. Right?
Yeah, and I've had a mixed opinion of Mo, but I thought he did phenomenal.
Yeah.
I thought he stood up for himself really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really did. So this is a question that we could, I want to talk about law enforcement, and then I want to talk a little more broadly. Catherine, what's happened with law enforcement? Is there some momentum based on your data?
Well, yes. And this is, to me, this is one of the most exciting things that's come out of this of late. So, you know, we've been trying to present this to law enforcement since 2021, and it's been slow going. But in hindsight, we now realize that maybe we were just reaching out to the wrong partners, because what has happened of late is we have been contacted by sheriffs from across the country who have a tremendous amount of power directly accountable to the people. And that fits our bill perfectly. I mean, we are all about the power of citizen engagement. So sheriffs are coming forward, and they can
open investigations.
Absolutely.
Their resources are more limited, but you've done a lot of the legwork for them anyway. Is that right?
Well, right. But and maybe, you know, maybe 2020 is still, you know, in their sights, but more importantly, in some ways, they're ready to stand for law and order in 2022. Yeah. And that's what we need. We need accountability. We need direct contact for people that are witnessing things and have nowhere to turn because the system is just kind of breaking down. So sheriffs mean it's opening a whole new opportunity, and you're going to see a lot of that coming out from us and other organizations in the days ahead.
Greg.
Yeah, I'm so encouraged by all the things that are happening and all the people coming forward. Catherine's long said that, you know, we're all a lot more alike than we are different. And unfortunately on the right, we tend to fight each other and eat our own. But I think one of the things that Mules did, and it wasn't just with law enforcement and just with the sheriffs, but I think one of the things that Mules did was really break down some of those barriers. You know, you don't have to agree with everything I say, but if you're fighting for freedom, I'll stand next to you and fight
absolutely.
All day long.
Amen. So, Greg, how much can you tease us a little bit on what might be coming next? You said there's something even bigger than Mules that you have.
We have some of the best researchers on the planet. About 15 months ago, we came in contact with some information that we were able to help develop. And Catherine and I put together a package and took it to federal law enforcement and some others. And in so doing, really became engaged in what ended up being a major counterintelligence operation on an international scale. There are multiple countries involved. There's massive amounts of data and massive amount of money involved with all of this. And it's like a thriller, like a James Bond kind of thing, right? I mean, we got betrayed by our own government. We've had all manner of things going on, but I can safely say it is more explosive than Mules. It's 10x bigger than Mules. And it's gonna explode onto the scene and explode into American. Between now and then, you know, we hope that we can put all these deals together and get everybody sort of steeled up against this, and everybody get ready to fight.
Well, I'll speak to it from a process perspective. I mean, what we've found, and in this next story, as it necessarily reveals itself, is going to leave some voids that citizens are going to need to wrap their minds around and step up and help with. It is 10x bigger at least, but it is also very real. It's more than just a story. It's a practical implication of some of the weaknesses that exist in more ways than most people recognize within elections. And we're now going to be called to stand up and help shore up that gap.
So not as cryptically, what could we expect? Just kind of massive, explosive, civilizational defining type revelations, or we're just going to have to wait and see. And that's fine, because we don't want,
you know, this is a interesting point. I still in my own mind I don't see the path quite yet for how it's not a movie. We're not going to do a movie. I don't know quite how to break this.
To tell the story.
I don't know quite how to tell the story, because, you know, you want to just kind of get past all of the sensational aspect of it and just say, it's true. Now let's get to work and fix it. And at least that's the way I look at it. I don't want to spend 1 second more than necessary sensationalizing the fact that what we have is what we have. We have to deal with it. And that's the part I'm most concerned about.
Sensationalization, though, is good for virality and stickiness, as
you
guys are learning, right?
Yeah.
So I suppose then there was one other wrinkle that you guys have teased before that I want to ask you about, which is you said you're going to put all the data online. Is that still the plan?
Yes, and when? Greg, you can speak to this in greater depth. I just want to say this is the thing on the Meals project that I'm most fired up about, because we have only scratched the surface, particularly in the video. We have millions of minutes of video, and to be able to set all that into an environment where people can look at it, where we talked about it just this morning, being able to
crowdsource it
and give timestamp clues, because even the timestamps in the video aren't
let the internet do the work for
100%, and they will find so much more than what we found.
So smart.
And they'll see for themselves.
So sorry to interrupt, but you would put up, let's say, 4 million minutes of footage from Georgia and say, internet, here's where we think there are things. Have some fun.
Yeah, let's gamify it, right? I mean, let's give rewards if they find something cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be so much fun.
And it won't just be Georgia. We just put out another sweep of the 200 top counties in the country. By federal standard, everybody was, or all counties and municipalities were supposed to hold that video surveillance and all election artifacts until September 3rd. That's 22 months from the November 3rd, 2020. So we should be getting lots more video.
You're going to get a lot of emails. Sorry, the video simply does not
exist.
You
think?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we can't give you an answer.
But you
why.
Know what? We're going to post that too.
And so when do you plan to put everything up?
So, well, again, Greg, you speak to it. Just I'll give you my 2 cents. It's been stickier than you might imagine, because it's so much content. And the way you get this stuff is like in hard drives, typically, that have different kind of, I mean, it's all very sort of, I mean, this is surveillance video. This isn't like YouTube's.
Maybe Rumble servers could help. I'm just thinking out loud. I mean,
we've come up with a platform that's.
They'll need a server the size of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's been a challenge.
I think we've gotten over some of the main business hurdles, and I think we understand what we need to do now. And it's just a matter of executing. It's probably going to take, you know, 6 or 8 weeks to get it all together. But I think along the way we can tease things out, right? I mean, we can drop some bombs on people. One of the things that everybody's been asking me about for some reason for the last couple of days is, well, do you have more of those maps? Send me more of those maps. You know, cool. All right, let's send some maps.
So let's say you post the data, you'll be putting pings and videos up, just kind of in its raw form. Is that right?
And also other open records. Catherine's and her team have done an amazing job collecting open records over the last couple of years. And there's some ridiculous stuff
stuff,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, I mean,
so much fun.
Yeah, a lot of open records, a lot of chain of custody documents that researchers can help map out and look, identify the spikes, and then go back to see what the video shows. It's a lot of very eye-opening stuff.
So one of the objections that someone would say is, well, there's not video in the film that shows a mule going to more than one Dropbox. Well, I'm sure that will be solved rather quickly.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And you guys have that video anyway.
Of course,
right?
We do.
Yeah, well, it's actually, if you look back at the trailer, the teaser, all these movie words, the very first thing that came out, super short, like a minute and a half or something. And there is what's shown in that is a sequence among many, one of the sequence of the same mule going to three different spots.
They should put that in the film.
But
I don't know if they did or not.
No, they didn't. Okay. But the thing is, the video is not good. I mean, you just see like the shadowy.
Got it.
And when you see, that's another reason I'm really excited about Ripcord, is that you will see.
Oh, is that what it's called? Operation Ripcord?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
But you'll see for yourself how bad the video really is, which begs the question, so what How was that secure? What were you actually surveilling?
Pay very close attention, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We're now facing severe food shortages, high inflation, and outrageous fuel prices. Some people are saying there's a looming recession, and possibly things could get even worse. Are you prepared? Do you have enough emergency food stored up for months and months? If not, go to preparewithkirk.com. You'll save $150 on a three-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Be sure to get at least one kit for each person in your family. Your three-month emergency food kit gives you a wide variety of delicious meals every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks for three full months per person. If the worst happens and you don't have this emergency food kit, you'll regret it. So go to preparewithkirk.com right now to save $150 per three-month food kit. Act quickly because these kits are selling like hotcakes. Your order ships fast and arrives discreetly in unmarked boxes. You get free shipping as well. So go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. You're nine meals away from anarchy. Prepare yourself at preparewithkirk.com.
Let's talk more about True the Vote. So I've known you for 10 years, Catherine and Greg. We've done some fun things together, had a lot of fun shared experiences, a lot of good mutual friends. Kind of lost contact for a couple years and then kind of back in the fight. Talk about what True the Vote is doing. You're ramping up. You're 501c3. You need financial support. Talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, we've been in this fight since 2010. It's always been at the heart of True the Vote, the power of citizen engagement, and that's never been more important than now. And so even though 2000 Mules and this research and some of the stories to follow were really just a what feel like a necessary outfall of what happened in 2020, we had to get to the bottom of some of that, but it also exposes all the more reason for citizens to step in. And so what we'll be doing in the days ahead, you'll see us partnering with sheriff's organizations.
Great.
Thrilled about that. And that will give people yet another outlet. We're going to be doing lots more with the citizen-led efforts to clean the voter rolls, certainly yes. The ripcord and looking at video. So there's so many ways to get eyes on and get engaged. And that's what we're really excited about.
So I don't say this jokingly at all, but the third or fourth piece of feedback I receive about both of you is your safety, is that you're going up against the regime of evil. Is that something that crosses your radar? How do you guys process that? I mean, some of that might just be paranoia on behalf of the watchers or viewers or listeners. But Greg, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. You're going up against the Death Star.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, I'm not too worried about it. We worry a lot about Catherine. We've got her surrounded.
Now, we don't worry a lot about Catherine.
We worry a lot about Catherine, me, Chelsea, everybody else does. And you know, we just have to harden up and get it moving and get some people around her and it's all going to be fine. I mean, the haters, as you guys know, the haters going to hate.
Haters going to
hate. And they do. And that's what they're doing. And right now, there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do to stop us, and it scares the hell out of them.
Well, this is something that I've grappled with for years. First, when the Obama administration came after us, these are the days of our lives, and you have to look in the mirror and say how deep am I really willing to go? And it's live fortune, sacred honor. It's everything.
So talk a little bit more about the psychology of that, Greg or Catherine, because some people are watching this and they're like, wow, I'm nervous to show up at a school board meeting. But these two people are trying to, you know, uncover and unmask an international, you know, multi-organizational kind of regime. Just talk about what drives you. I mean, because people will find that inspiring, and they should, by the way.
Well, let me speak to that from personal experience. For the first 2 years, True the Vote, when we started in 2010, the attacks almost immediately began with the Obama administration. Yep. And the incursion of five different government agencies and the IRS and so forth and so on.
OSHA
and BATF and FBI. And in any event, I didn't talk about it for nearly 2 years. I didn't even tell my team because of the stigma and the concern about what the view of it all would be if you were aware of all of the audits and investigations. All this to say that after that period of time, when we finally decided to sue the IRS, the congressional testimony came and we had an opportunity to tell the story, I realized really for the first time the power in speaking out. And I also realized that what our opposition wants more than anything is to chill us into silence.
Wow.
That's how they win.
What is the power of speaking out that you've found? Does it disempower them? Does it shine a light on their...
It does that. But it also unites you with Americans that you can, you tap into that great reservoir of faith and love that is the American people. And you just feel it. I feel that we have millions of people praying for us.
Yeah. Because it's easier just to kind of sit down, shut up, and let it happen, right? I mean, that's the easy path.
Yeah, I guess. But don't do that.
No, easy is not, we talk about on the show, easy is not right or good.
No.
Meaning it's just to kind of sit down and roll over. TrueTheVote.org. Give a donation, everybody. Support them. If you saw 2,000 meals, good. But you want to know the data that drove all that? It was how many millions of dollars you guys spent? $3-4 million you count staff time? Easily, right?
All in, and we're still spending it. It's still going.
Yeah. It's several million dollars.
Millions.
Huge investment. That didn't come from the RNC. That didn't come from the Chamber of Commerce. That came from a grassroots organization, TrueTheVote.org. Any closing thoughts in 15 seconds?
I would just add to the last conversation you guys were having. God's with us. We have a true north, and the other side just has nothing but darkness.
And they are. When you guys learn what I've had a little bit of crumbs that I've learned off camera, you'll see the institutional evil that these two are uncovering. God bless you guys. We have your back, and so do millions of others.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
TrueTheVote.org and watch their testimony in front of the Arizona Senate today. See you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.